When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shirtless, it's the Shirtless Plantain Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Euros edition. Today you have me, Tosin, the host, alongside my co-host, my brother, Coach. How you doing today?
What's up? I'm back. Yeah, Labrucci on Twitter. You know where to find me. Yeah. Apologies if I sound and look tired. It's because I am, unfortunately. So.
Listen, we're giving the people what they want, and that is European coverage of the Euros, and we're going to do that right now. The first game I want to talk about is France-Poland. Mbappe came back with a mask, scored his first ever Euros goals. Mm-hmm. Thomas Muller, we're still waiting for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Coach, what do you think about this game?
Well, I found out about it quite literally on my way back from like an after work errand. So I was just stunned into shock basically for about 10 minutes before I realized I could watch it on my phone. so yeah, I did watch a decent amount of the second half, I want to say. But I didn't get to watch any of Barcola play. Didn't get to watch him play, which disappointed me. But that's kind of the most interesting thing I think about the game. We were so adamant that, you know, he wasn't going to get in ahead of Kola Muani and Koeman. Do you know what I mean? And he skips both of them to start straight, to start over them. Very, very peculiar. But it goes to show me that Deschamps is not as one-dimensional and hard-headed as we think, which is positive, which is good. Bad news for everybody else, but it's good for France. So,
yeah. I mean, the thing about him, first of all, he looks like babyface Ray, okay? He looks just like babyface Ray. Second of all, Bradley's a serious player. Okay, I think we know that. Like, we've seen enough of Bradley at Lyon, and we've seen enough at PSG to know that this is a very frightening player. And that young man is quite scary. But the other players stood out for me today. Two players in particular. One was N'Golo Kanté. Mm-hmm. We can wax lyric about him all day. I mean, N'Golo Kanté is an all timer. It just is what it is. You know, the guy's incredible, but Arsenal fans, I'm very jealous. I know he's good, okay, first of all. But William Saliba is a grown-ass man. I love that kid. I love him like he's my own child. He's so good at football, man. He's incredible.
You know the funny thing I think about this whole Saliba situation with France is people like to use the fact that he couldn't start over whoever was playing for France because they didn't really have a super-duper settled centre-back partnership. Because of players being injured and stuff like that. But they used to like to use that as a stick to beat him with. And all that time that was happening, kind of thing, he got called up to the France squad in 2021 or end of 2022, I want to say anyway, kind of thing. He wasn't even settled at an actual club. He was still on loan. Saliba's 21 years old still. People forget. Is he 21, 22? He just turned 22, shall I say. Like, he's incredibly young for a centre-back. So all of this casting finality, oh yeah, he's never going to be good enough.
He's 23. For XYZ.
Pardon, sir?
He's 23.
He's 23. Well, he just turned 23. There we go. Like, he came back to Arsenal, to my man, when he was 21, I think, actually. Yeah, beginning of 22, 23 season, he came back when he was still 21 years old. So I don't know, man. Like, it's, you know, as great as he is, development is a real thing, especially in international football. You know, maybe you want to throw him in at the deep end, whatever court, he probably could handle it, but you can't take those chances. And now that he's established himself, everyone knows with centre-back partnerships, if you've got two right-footed players, the better player will play on the left. That's just how it's always gone. I don't make the rules, but that's just how it's always gone. So I think, yeah, he's he's majestic, and I don't see how he's going to be. They're going to be looking for a partner for him, basically. Whoever's fit and available, they're going to look for a partner for him, basically. Go on.
And the guy who played next to him, they're Upamecano. Like, again, I think Upamecano is very talented, but that penalty he did today,
on the ball,
that penalty cost, that penalty he caused today is exactly why I don't like that guy. Yeah. Because as talented as he is, he has these moments of just pure bozoism. Yeah. And just like, yo, you're too talented to be doing these dumb things. But overall, man, France didn't really do anything that impressive. I mean, I think that their XG is very high. They create a lot of chances, but it's just the final moments. Mbappe still looked uncomfortable with his mask, but he's still frightened as hell, man. Like, Mbappe's going to get it right. But it's cool to see, man. France got so much depth, man. Bringing on Tchouameni, like bringing off Camavinga off the bench, is just like, how are you? Like, this is just obscene, the amount of talent you have. On the Polish side, they didn't embarrass themselves, man. They showed up. Their backup goalkeeper is at Bologna. He's at Bologna, man of the match. Yeah, man of the match for sure. Kiwar, the less said, the better. That penalty
he recovered.
Yeah. Lewa, it's time to be a family man. And I was also upset with like the penalty stuff. Mm. I feel bad for keepers. Like, they should have at least move as well. If they're doing all these stuttering and shit, at least they let the goalkeepers move. Not like Dudek did, but at least.
Yeah. Oh, no, he took the piss, man. He was a real cheater.
Yeah. Dudek wanted to give the guy a bear hug. but it was a madness. But the game of the whole entire day, and I think probably one of the best games of the tournament, is Austria and Netherlands.
Yeah. Austria, and I missed it all. I missed every single bit of it, and I'm so disappointed.
Let me tell you this. You remember when Kendrick said he's Terrence Thornton, I'm Terrence Crawford, I'm whooping feet? Yeah. That's what they did. They were on their necks. Yeah. It was so bad that Joey Veerman got taken off in the first half. He literally gave the ball up 15 times.
What?
Like, they took him off. it was that bad. It was that bad. And the Dutch, like, you know Van Basten. Van Basten said what he had to say. Van Basten was just, Van Basten said what he had to say. Who else is there that talks? And who's the other guy that always talks rubbish all the time?
Van der Vaart.
The Dutch guy. Yeah, Van der Vaart was going crazy.
Let me just say, is the word pontificate? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me pontificate on Van der Vaart for a minute, because I don't get how somebody who is in the same generation as Robin Van Persie, Schneider, even Dirk Kuyt and whatnot, and you want to achieve quite literally nothing compared to them, but you've got the most mouth. I mean, no, Dutch people are quite frank and quite honest, but you don't have any shame. Like, these men are not talking half as much shit as you, and they've done way more in the game than you. Like, he always does the same. It's almost like he lives for it. He lives to be a dickhead on TV. Most Dutch people that I see on TV, like, you know, in correspondence or whatnot, they're just being themselves, innit? Like, you know, they're just actually just giving their honest opinion. Yeah, it can be a bit harsh or whatnot, but you can see how much he revels in it. I'm just like, yeah, he was quite talented, but listen, you were not that guy. You were never ever that guy, like, ever. The guys around you, those were the real men. Those were the real men doing stuff. And you went to Real Madrid, and so what? Like, you went to Real Madrid. So did Schneider. So did Robin.
And so did Royce and Drenthe.
And so did Royce. But look at what happened. It didn't work out for them. Cool, but look at what Robin done after Real Madrid. You see what I'm saying? What did you do after Real Madrid? You went to fucking Tottenham, bro. Tottenham. Like, let's have it right, man. Like, I really, really hate the way, like, he always gets on to people. It's like, bro, you didn't do anything. You didn't. What did you actually do, bro? Like, for real. Like, what did you actually do? So, yeah, man.
Yeah, Joey Veerman lost the ball 15 times and completed no dribbles. And it was just sad to see him getting taken off. I think I was more so hurt for him, man. I don't like to see, I know we make banter and all that stuff, but I don't like to see somebody doing that bad of their job where like the whole world is seeing it, man. That wasn't cool at all. But Austria, listen, what Ralf Rangnick has done with this side is absurd, okay? Like, he really has these guys buying into everything selling.
Test them. I'm sorry, I'm saying it. Test them. Test them.
You think something's up?
Listen, I know something up. I see the look in their eyes, man.
Yeah, they got an RB in their system. I don't know, man. They're RB Austria right now. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Daniel Malin had an own goal. I think like the first 10 minutes of that game, right? Netherlands did not get out their half for like the first 10 minutes. They were just penned in. They just getting pressed all game. And Schmidt scored, and then Sabitzer scored a really, really good goal to end it. But it was just back and forth. Cody Hakpo had a really, really good goal. That was a really good finish. Memphis had a solid finish as well. But overall, I think the Netherlands just lack it. You know, I said Xavi Simons was one of the kids to look out for. I don't think he's ready yet. And it's unfortunate because he has a lot of talent, but I just don't think he's at that level. And, you know, it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But that's that group done. And Netherlands is going to go to the next round and Austria as well. And boy, it's going to be a very, very interesting rest of the tournament to see where Netherlands goes.
So here's my thing. I'm not a betting man. Obviously, betting's haram. Don't bet. It's bad. Right. But what are the odds on Austria finishing top of that group? Because I know that must have been, they must have been incredibly short. Like, there's no way. I thought Austria might get through on third place, whatever. It turns out it was Holland, you know, the most polite people to ever play football. But Austria finishing top of that group, that is a huge shock, genuinely. A genuinely huge shock.
They haven't qualified for a World Cup in 6 tries.
That's absolutely mental, man. Seriously. Absolutely mental.
Yeah, so I don't know. And France finished second. So that side where there's France and Spain and Germany.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Godspeed. Speaking of Godspeed, Group C, probably the worst group in all of Euro 2024. Like, all four of them teams are bad. Like, Rasmus Højlund, you need Ruud van Nistelrooy's coaching so bad. Like, you need Ruud. Ruud doesn't need you. You need Ruud, okay? If there's one person that has to convince Ruud van Nistelrooy to come back to Old Trafford, it's him. He needs to learn how to be a striker from him, okay? That's who he needs to learn from. But let's talk about that game first, because we're going to get to England. Because we have seen a lot of iterations of England over our lives. I'm sure you and I can go on a whole podcast about how England have seen. But Denmark-Serbia was one of them games where it wasn't really too much action. Denmark got what they needed to do, which is a point. And there's not really any takeaways from the game. I mean, I think if you've seen one game from Denmark in this tournament, you've seen them all, because didn't really change much. They still play their two-man system, their wing-back system. So wasn't really anything to take away from that, other than the fact that you've seen it. Serbia was trying, but they just didn't have it. And again, I'm about to say something really mean. I don't like to be mean, but SMS said it over and over again. Even when it's at Lazio, that's a myth of a football player, bro.
Yeah. Do you know what? I absolutely agree with you. And the thing is, it's not that he's even a bad footballer. I just don't think he's anywhere near, you know, the hype that some people, you know, gave him. I saw him once live and he scored one of the best goals I've quite literally ever seen live. And that's probably my lasting memory of him. Outside of that. He's quite literally a myth.
Yeah, and Dusan Vlahovic is not pulling up the woods. Yeah. So do we, whatever, however they say it. Because, you know, English is my fourth language. But yeah, England. I think we're going to spend a lot of our time on England. 0-0 against Slovenia. Made one change, which is Conor Gallagher. Mm-hmm. He got subbed off at halftime for Kobbie Mainoo. But, coach, do you want to talk about England? I'll let you have the floor.
I don't want to talk about England. But I will. So, here's the thing. Gareth Southgate, you, in terms of talent, I don't think I've ever had the displeasure of watching a coach misuse this amount of talent to this level before. And don't get me wrong, I'm well aware that some of these England players aren't maybe not even half as good as what some of as we'd like to think. I get that. But the good ones are extremely good. And in international football, that counts for a lot. International football is in nowadays, it's very much get the best out of your best players. I know that, you know, that could probably apply to club football as well, but over a season, you know, your squad will help you and whatnot, get you over the line kind of thing. But in international football, if you can get them right, your best players playing well for 7 games and you're a top side, you will make a deep run, potentially win this thing. And let's let's be honest here, right? I don't feel like anybody in this England team has played well, has had a good match even. Like, maybe Mark Gahey, if I'm being honest.
Maybe. Yeah, Mark Gahey's been England's best player by far.
Yeah, but again, that's more a function of, well, one of the defenders has to be, because this England team are doing nothing in attack at all. Like, let me ask you something, Tosin. Do you honestly think, like, genuinely honestly think, you watched that Austria game and you watched the England game, could you tell me who is the coach with more clout? Like, just who do you think would be more deserving of more clout, or more deserving of being able to manage a team with that talent? Because it seems as if there we go. And it seems as if Ralph, I'm not saying Ralph is a perfect coach for England, but he's looking at what he's got, kind of thing, and he's getting the best out of these guys. He's making it work with them. Like, I don't understand how you can pick that England squad, right? Regardless of who was left at home, like Rashford, like Sterling, whatever. I don't get how you can pick that England squad and you can pull from your heart. You want to play in midfield of Bellingham, Rice, and Trent, or in this game, Gallagher. That is that. If I was a boss at the FA, whoever makes the decision, I'd be like, that was the last straw, because there is more than enough in that squad. Forget who's injured in defence. There's more than enough in that squad for you to not... Why are you going life and death for Slovenia? I get France, you know, had a tough time with Poland and whoever else. Cool, that can happen. That can happen. But we know when it comes to France actually turning on, and France have turned it on this tournament already, they've actually been pinning teams in, creating chances. The finishing has just been letting them down, really. You know, the Netherlands game is a good example of that. They really should have beaten the Netherlands, I think. But England against Slovenia, against Denmark, against Serbia, like the easiest group you could ever hope for, and this is the shit you decide to serve up. Why are you being so conservative against these teams? Like, I don't understand it. What do you have to be like? What do you have to be afraid of? What do you actually have to be afraid of? There's so much more I can say, but the one thing I suppose I'll leave this part, this point on, is the fact that a lot of the time in the build-up, England don't commit enough men forward. They just don't. And I'm not understanding, with all that attacking talent, you're not committing enough men forward to support these guys, supplement these guys. That's all from the coach, as far as I'm concerned.
I think for me, one of the most frustrating things is seeing the way people watch football. It's very much agenda driven, right? Mm. At the end of the game, everyone is like, oh, my club play this, my club play that. You have Chelsea fans saying Cole Palmer's a star. You have people laughing at Ian Wright saying about the left back thing, which, again, I know you don't know how to consume media, because Ian Wright was clearly joking. There's that.
I don't think he was joking. Was he?
I don't know, but I think he was. But again, it's just like, for me, stop watching football with these blinders of your club on. Like, I'm frustrated that Marcus didn't get caught up, but I let that go. I'm frustrated that Kobe's not getting enough time, but I let it go. And by the way, that's a phenomenal kid. Harry Kane should have slipped him through instead of passing it to Cole Palmer, but that's neither here nor there. England has a lot of talent. I think for me, there's not too many countries who are producing talent the way England are producing talent. And I'm talking about from U12 all the way up to the senior level for men and women's. I believe England is up there, top five in the world when it comes to talent. They just don't know how to put it all together. And this is a problem England's had since 1966, is that they just constantly disappoint on the big stage. Each generation have done this. David Platt, you know, Gascoigne, Rio, JT, Lamps, Scholes, Becks. We can go through the list, right? They missed World Cup 94. They missed Euro 2008. But England constantly disappoint. So for a lot of people who are watching this England side, and like for the maybe first or second time, and they get really frustrated, I'm telling you, that somebody who's lived this experience, don't expect much from England, bro.
Not until. Not until they change. Not until the actual. Because what's funny is that in terms of what's being produced, in terms of what types of players are being produced, this is what we've wanted. This is what the people that you know aren't that well. That care about the game in this country want. They want to see more technical players, more players that are combining, natural English athleticism, you know, with good technique. They've won this for years. The issue is now, genuinely, the coach. I remember Arsene Wenger years back, when he was linked with the England job many times, by the way, he said the English, they said the English manager should be English. And I couldn't disagree more. I genuinely couldn't disagree more. Tell me one good English manager, like right now, to be honest, right, there's a few. Gary O'Neill, cool. Would you trust him with the national team?
No.
Right, this is
what I know somebody who I would give the job to, though, Graham Potter.
See, that's the thing. Graham Potter, again, he's gone to a big club with talented players. Maybe not as good as the England squad kind of thing. I'm not too sure yet. I'm genuinely not too sure yet. And that's the thing. Like other countries seem to be able to produce so many coaches en masse that are good club managers, good national team managers as well. Look at the Spain coach, bro. Like, legit, look at the Spain coach. Like, do England have anybody like that? They don't. They actually don't. And that's the thing. You've got the players right now. Let's start producing the coaches that aren't gonna try to, you know, ride the wave of being a good man manager, you know, of the good vibes, making everybody like each other and shit. Like, that's not working.
Have you seen Spain's coach Luis De La Fuente? You know where he started? Obviously, like,
yeah,
he's a youth coach at Sevilla, Bilbao, and then coaching Bilbao, Alves. And since 2013, he's been with the Spanish Federation.
Yeah.
U19, U21, U23, and now for the last 2 years, he's been on the main team. I think England don't have any good coaches. I think the last good English coach that I like was Terry Venables.
We're talking top English coaches, yeah? Boy, like, it's quiet, man. Like, legit, it's actually quiet. Because
I mean, I'm literally thinking about it now. Like, the best English coaches, like
fucking
Brian Clough, Bobby Robson.
You know, and like, look, don't get me wrong, right? The young ones coming up, like O'Neill, even though I think he's a prick, Eddie Howe and whatnot. These are good coaches, clearly. Bobby Robson as well. Actually, let's give it up for Bobby Robson. Actually, rest in peace. Bobby Robson was a top coach. He might actually be the last one that I actually genuinely rate. Roy Hodgson is up there as well, but I think Bobby Robson might be the one for me. I think.
Yeah. I mean, we still do. You know, we still got some coming up. Will Steele, Michael Carrick, Evan Evett, Kieran McKenna, but he's technically Northern Irish. Liam Manning. So there are some people.
I don't think Kieran McKenna would ever consider managing like England.
No, absolutely not. Why would he do that? Yeah. Why would he do that? And people say Neil Warnock, man. Listen, England are...
Neil Warnock, yeah. Not too much on my general, honestly. That's listen, yeah. That's my general, Neil Warnock.
Yeah. You know what's the crazy thing? I'm going to leave you with a stat because we're getting off a topic. I'm going to bring it back. You know there's never been an English coach to win the actual Premier League?
I knew that. Like, I mean, there's been a plethora of English captains to have won the Premier League, but actual coaches, that says a lot, man. Like that legit says a lot. Like go to Italy, go to Spain. You know what I mean, go to Germany. That could never run. That could never run, ever.
No.
Like honestly speaking, Italy and and Spain hands down produce the best coaches. It's not even funny. I might even stick my neck out and say I think Italy might produce like the best coaches, period. But
look at Thiago Motta. Like technically Thiago Motta is Brazilian, right? But he played for the Italian national team. Bro, what he's done at Bologna you will never see English coach do what he did at Bologna. No. You think a random English guy would take like a Brighton appointment in top four and beating big teams at that? Have off, man. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, England is frustrating, man. And I think for me, this game is just more of a microcosm of England as a whole when it comes to football. Because, again, we've watched so many iterations of English football. Like, I mean, again, I remember Southgate missing a penalty in 96. I cried. I remember 98 World Cup, 2000 Euros, 2004, missing 08, 2012. You know, the list goes on and on. And even the off the stuff pitch, man, like just off the pitch stuff, it's just England frustrating. And what we said on the account today is true. Is like this generation of English players didn't have the toxic vibes that the previous generation has, but now it's creeping back in. You're starting to see it with like the way that Harry Kane's talking to Lineker. You're starting to see the way they're reacting to the media. You're starting to see the way that Declan Rice is speaking out. And it's like,
to be fair though, I did want to say actually, I think Declan Rice's comments were actually absolutely spot on. He wasn't nasty. He wasn't. He actually handled it like an adult. And I was really disappointed because I really wanted him to tell him to fuck off, basically. But I like James McLean. I genuinely do. I really, really like James McLean, especially for what he stands up for, what he believes in, and whatnot. And he was actually quite a good player. But Harry Kane, and this is the thing. This is why I was so shocked. On one of the pods, I think it was 3 or 4 pods ago, I was so shocked at how in detail Gary Lineker went, because they never, because English pundits never do that. English pundits are never that thorough in detail with what they think a player can improve and what they think a team can do better, kind of thing. And that's why I was so shocked. And that's why I was waiting for the reaction, because this is not something we're used to in this country. We're just not, especially like, you know, the top English pundit is Gary Lineker. Like, he is the top English pundit. For him to, and he's the host as well. The hosts never do shit like that on top of that. So it was just very strange. And I feel like it was kind of almost like a missed opportunity here, because Harry Kane has come back and said, oh yeah, you know, remember what it's like to wear the shirt and XYZ, but I get all that. All your feelings are definitely valid, but that should have been an opportunity to be like, you know, do you know what? Look at how, like, you could have talked to shit and said, look, we're top players, we're a top team, we need to be better, kind of thing. Not, oh yeah, you know, remember what it's like, what a block it's like. Come on, man. Like, you know, you crashed 49 goals last season. Come on, man. Like, you know what it's like to play well and shit, and you're not playing well. So let's take it on the chin and let's move on. He wasn't nasty about it. He was incredibly constructive. So,
yeah. Man. Yeah, and Harry Kane's an issue in himself, man. I don't like how deep he drops. And the thing that I saw today, and the thing that we said it before the preview, we said it before even we saw it, England have too many players that want to be central. Mm-hmm. You have to drop one of Jude or Foden. You have to. Like, you just have to do it. And there was a point in the second half where I noticed that Foden was all the way on the right. Mm-hmm. Jude was throwing a strop in the middle of the left center. I don't know where he was. He was throwing a strop. You're seeing all these players trying to come in the middle. And like,
That's another thing as well. A foreign coach would not give a damn about dropping one of them, he wouldn't care. He actually wouldn't care. And that's the issue here, because you like this year, you look at other top teams, like Gary Neville was saying, oh yeah, other top teams, they never have issues about trying to fit in their best players and whatnot. Yes, they do. They just don't play them. If they're not going to fit the system, they just don't play them. And then that's why Camavinga's on the fucking bench, bro. Could you imagine if Camavinga's English? Like, could you actually imagine? Like, all the issues, like, you know, they play for Real Madrid. Oh, they must start. You know what I'm saying? Like, same thing with Bellingham. While he plays for Real Madrid, he must, like, come on, man. Like, balance is the most important thing in football. If the balance is off, that player can hold bench. It's not hard. It's actually not hard. That's why it's really frustrating. Like, they're almost, because Southgate, you know, never really done much as a player or a coach, no disrespect, like, he just sees that Real Madrid badge, like, oh yeah, he must play. Or he just sees how successful Foden is, you know what I mean? Albeit, you know, being done through whatever means you want to call it, kind of thing. Oh yeah, he must start. You know what I mean? It's like, it's weird. It's like, no, let's get the balance of the team right, like, and we go from there. So yeah, man.
And back to the balance thing, Tyrick Mitchell did very well, especially in the wing back mm-hmm. system in Crystal Palace. Alfie Doherty, I don't know that his team got relegated, but he still showed that he has something in him, right? Mm-hmm. He showed, like, okay, he's a player. And listen, and this is the problem with England right here. They're too, what's the word I'm trying to say? They're very snobbish, right? Mm-hmm. I am crazy. I would have called up someone like the kid from Ipswich Town, the left back over there. Because you clearly don't have any left backs in the Premier League. Go get the best English left back in the Championship. We got promoted. Mm-hmm. But again, that's the balance thing. You can't keep putting right back to left back, bro. And you're seeing it. And it's frustrating as somebody who is technically English to see the same dumb mistakes they're making as when I was a kid to now I'm an adult. It's like you're seeing the same thing over and over again. That's why we spend so much time, because it's if we can sit on our couch how stupid what they're doing is with the team, mm-hmm. How can you not see it as a coach? That's where I get frustrated. Like, if I can see it in my couch in Brooklyn, how can you not see it on the bench in Germany? You know what I mean?
And that's what the other thing that actually does annoy me. I want to go back to you, sorry. Like, that Gary Neville point is actually annoying me, because can you tell me, who do you think had a better season out of Grimaldo and Cucurella?
Grimaldo did.
So who's starting?
Cucurella. Because he's balancing the team out.
This is what I'm saying. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Let's say England did have a fully fit left backs, right? So you had Luke Shaw, and then Grimaldo was magically English kind of thing. And Luke Shaw had the season that he had, and Grimaldo had the season that he had. Could you imagine them trying to squeeze him in? Like, that's the issue there. Zubimendi, bro. You're gonna squeeze in Zubimendi over Rodri, Pedri, and Fabian Ruiz just because Zubimendi is an exceptional, you know, progressor of the ball, and he reads the game really well.
So you're gonna play him
over Pedri now? Is that what you said? Things like that. It don't make sense, man. Like,
Danny Olmo was a brilliant player this season,
bro. He's not getting to that first team. I'm sorry, he's not getting to that first team. So.
Even what's it called that started? The guy that came from France, that came from Man City, Laporte's incredible, but Lenormand is playing for a reason. Yeah. N'Golo Kante came back for a reason, and England did not balance out their team. And I tweeted and I deleted, but like I was saying, how what do you expect from a country who fumbles goals? I'm just like, they're like, well, he didn't play well for England. Then we understand at that time, Scholes was playing as Scholes was playing as more of an attacking player. Then he switched to a deeper player. But that's the thing with England, is like, you have these players who have a specific role, and it's profiles. You have to balance out the profiles. And this is why I laugh whenever they say you should drop soccer. For what? That is your best.
That's the other thing that annoyed me. I got into a little discussion on the timeline today, because they're saying, yeah, just move Saka left back. So England are struggling to attack, right? So let's hear me out. England are struggling to attack. They can't sustain pressure. They have no runners in behind. And there's nobody that's capable of beating their man consistently. So the one person that can help with all four of those things, you want to move him the furthest away from goal in the name of getting somebody else in the team. Like, no. The problem isn't Saka. The problem is at left back. It's not, the problem is at left back. Oh, let's take our best attacking player and put him at left back. No. It is the most ridiculous thing. And I think people need to really be careful of how they watch the game, if they think that's a sensible opinion to even have, just because when he was 17, 18, he played left back.
He's a grown man, and there's very few people on that right wing who's better than him in this world.
No. Could you imagine them saying, "Oh yeah, let's get Ansu Fati just playing left back because we all are come on, man, come on." What's his name?
Lamine Yamal.
Like, come on, man. Yeah, don't make sense, man. But yeah,
again, this is. I'm sorry, we went on a little bit too long. We're frustrated as people who watched England for years, and they're making the same dumb mistakes with another talented generation. They're fumbling again because that's just what England does. But coach, you got anything else you want to add before we head out of here?
Like, subscribe, share, love you guys in the comments and shit. Yeah, man. Granit Xhaka is better than all you fuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace. We're singing the shirtless. It's the shirtless. The shirtless plenty show.